Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Go.
We're back in the rugby dungeon, gentlemen.
Hello, Timothy.
What a weekend to be an Englishman. I'm going to enjoy this podcast. Well, what a weekend to be a Welshman as well.
Yeah.
We'll have to get one of those in to do the podcast with us. Right, let's get hands in pod on three then, boys. Hands in pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We're just three mates that love the game and are here to talk about it once again. As I mentioned, I'm Tim. JB is to my left.
Hello, Tim.
To his left in the rugby dungeon, Phil.
Hello, Tim.
Phil, nice bit of stash there.
My South Africa shirt.
Yeah, because you're off to South Africa soon.
I'm getting some wear out of it because a couple of weeks' time I'll be there.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, 2 weeks today I will be enjoying a nice glass of white wine in Cape Town.
I'm a little bit jealous. I'm not that jealous because I'll be in San Francisco, Yosemite, Pacific Highway and LA. So, you know.
Yeah, that does sound pretty good as well.
Yeah, it's all right. JB, you're fiddling with something. What are you doing?
I'm doing all sorts of things. Really important technical stuff. Why?
Can I just remind you, boys, how are you feeling about the fact that this time next week we will have done a live podcast in Bucharest with over 100 fellow egg chasers?
Yeah, it's a crazy idea, but it's going to happen. So best get used to that.
I'm used to the idea. I'm still a little bit nervous that something could go horrifically wrong.
I've always dreamt of doing a live podcast in the past. If that makes sense.
You dream about having just done a live podcast.
Well, to those people that are making the trip, bon voyage, very safe journey, and we will see you in Bucharest. To people that are going to be following it, you can find us on Instagram, it's Egg Chasers Podcast. You can find us on Twitter, at Rugby Podcast, and on Facebook, Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, where we are currently streaming live now. And wherever you are on that, leave your thoughts, comments, pictures, whatever else, and we can incorporate it into the pod. On this podcast, obviously, we're going to be talking about the Six Nations and a couple of fine wins for England and Wales. Where does it leave Scotland? Ireland versus England with nothing really riding on it in terms of championship. Mm-hmm. And all the rest of it, obviously a Grand Slam for England, so we'll get into all of that. We'll be looking at the European Rugby Cup. Anyone watch any of the Anglo-Welsh Cup?
No, none of it.
Do you watch any Super Rugby?
No, I'm aware of some. I've seen some highlights and I know that did the Hurricanes lose?
Yeah, I watched a bit of that on Friday morning.
And I know as well that... Oh, you can't even hear that.
Jaguares.
Turn it up. There you go. Still can't hear it. Who cares?
I can hear it.
Oh, yeah, can you? Fine. Also, the Jaguares won, which is a really good win because they beat the Lions.
Yeah. Although, Lions without a few stars because Elton Yantis was at the birth of his child, I think, and a few other people were missing.
There was an all New Zealand Super Boom Boom game that was quite good. And I'll tell you what, Crusaders beating the Reds in the last kick of the game was very entertaining to watch.
The only one I really watched was the Chiefs. Chiefs Canes. My beloved Canes went down, unfortunately.
Hard.
They could have got a bonus point at the end after scoring a great try after Michael Leach was yellow carded, but then gave away a stupid penalty with no time left on the clock, so lost the bonus point.
Super boom boom, right?
Indeed.
So we don't ask you for money. Well, JB would and does. We do ask you for a moment of your time and to leave a review on iTunes. 5-star review's been left by JMaxC53, who says, put three young, excitable men in a basement dungeon with recording equipment, a dressing up box. That's how he's talking about our shirts. I don't like that. And adjustable chairs. And what do you get? A rugby-based Archer's derivative soap that will keep you hooked from day one once you get past Phil Grundy Largan's incomprehensible regional accent, that is. For those joining now, the plot centres around two main themes: the trio's mutual passion for discussing cotton-based sportswear, and the love triangle that is Tim, JB, and Sale. While JB's coquettish flirting with Sale dominates, the keen of ear devotee will note the increasingly tense interactions between JB and Tim that threaten to disrupt JB's best team with ball in hand fixation. It's a classic will they, won't they ever agree, punctuated by Tim making excuses about his workload to not be in the same room and videoing in on occasion when the tension gets too much. If they do ever agree, the question on everyone's lips will be, will they get their own hashtag like Kimye? Cockbeard, perhaps? Very good. A lot of effort gone into that one, and I thank you for it, Jay Maxey. Leave your review on iTunes. Oh, my God, there's only one place to start.
Georgia, Russia.
We can get onto that in a bit, but, England haven't been playing well in this Six Nations. What a way to turn it on.
Yeah, agreed.
England have strung together about 10 minutes of good performance so far in the previous three games, if you add it all up. And this game was completely different, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was quite interesting, actually. No one predicted this. No one. I mean, lots of people predicted an England win.
I predicted a comfortable England win. I will also say that.
Did you predict 60 points or score?
I think I said England by 12 40? Or 14 last week.
Yeah.
Not by 40. Yeah. But you did. What was your prediction, Jay?
Scotland by 7.
Yeah.
I wasn't the only one thinking that Scotland had a good chance here.
Yeah. I think we all thought it was Scotland's best chance in, 34 years to win at Twickenham.
I honestly think this has set Scotland back a couple of years. I think it's a devastating body blow to all the good work that they've done.
So, I don't think it's that bad.
Oh.
It's obviously, from a confidence point of view, it is enormous. But there were so many mitigating factors.
Mm-hmm.
As in, the yellow card after 3 minutes didn't help. And I think it's right, in my mind, it was right to be a yellow card.
Yeah, about right.
I was a little bit, as you can imagine with me, wanted to let the boys play. I was a little bit upset at how many people were saying that should have been red.
No, it's never a red.
No way.
Yeah,
borderline yellow.
I don't think it should have been red. I think if he'd rotated slightly further, it could have been.
Definitely.
He did.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but in the letter of the law. Just as we've gone over many times, that red should be reserved for like real malicious foul play for me. But anyway.
But also, just the number of injuries in the back line.
Mm. I don't think that's a mitigating circumstance.
It's mitigating to the scale. I think it is. They lost.
Do you agree with their bench selection? Two halfbacks, one outside back. There wasn't. Is two halfbacks, one centre.
One centre. But Bennett can play right across. He can play wing off.
They could have kept their starting 15 on. They're still getting pumped.
Oh yeah, I agree. They're still losing by 20 or so points. Comfortably, there are mitigating factors, and that is the kind of thing that you need to justify that kind of loss. So I don't think it will have the confidence knock that if they had their best men on for 80 minutes, it would have had.
Yeah,
but I think there's a more important issue here from Scotland's perspective, and we've seen in the France game, the England France game, and the England Wales game, they shut down England and they played a rush defence, particularly in the centre. Particularly in the 10-12 channel, to put loads of pressure on George Ford and loads on Owen Farrell.
That worked
Scotland, well, it worked really well.
Oh, sorry, yeah, go on.
It worked really well for France and Wales because they completely shut them down.
Yeah.
In the Scotland game, they played the most passive three-quarters defence I've seen. They were just standing off, holding their ground. And you saw try after try after try, which was beautiful interplay between Ford, Farrell, Joseph, Watson and Noel coming off the wing, Brown coming into the middle.
Yeah.
But it was all because of the Scotland passive D.
Well, okay. There's a couple of things here. So I think you can separate the first half and the second half. The reason being, the first half is where all the damage was done, and basically that's when they broke the Scottish will. The second half was basically a free-for-all. Right? The really interesting thing for me about this game and the Wales game, in fact, quite a lot of games now, is exactly how much teams getting beaten on first phase. The three Jonathan Joseph tries came all from lineouts.
Yeah.
Every one of them. There wasn't a ruck between the lineout and then Jonathan Joseph scoring.
So, no, two of the Jonathan Josephs hit. The third one there was Rooks, but it was the Watson was another set piece.
Sorry, Watson.
But that is all, in my mind, that is all down to this Scottish passive defence.
But, like, I mean, Ireland utilised a lot of line speed, and George Ford scored off a line out.
George North,
thank you. Also, England conceded against Wales from a scrum. So it's very strange, because the old cliche in rugby is, oh, first phase ball, can't do anything off first phase ball. Scotland's first try was a driving ball. No, it wasn't, sorry. One of their later ones was a driving ball. Hang on, what am I talking about? Right, let me start again. The Bennett try was from a line out. So if you look at actually where all the tries have been scored this year, a really high percentage have been scored off first phase ball.
Yeah. Yeah, particularly in that game, which I would certainly attribute to the passive defence.
Yeah, I think England just put so much unbelievable amount of pressure on. It was brilliant to see. They were flying up. They looked like they really had a rocket up them, which I think they will have done. And I think we talked about this last week, that the actual story from the Italy game was that England were really poor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think they've been waiting, chomping at the bit, and being probably bollocked by Eddie Jones for 2 weeks for being poor. And he did a brilliant job of making it all about the tactics.
Yep.
England should have reacted a lot quicker. France showed exactly what you do with that tactic the first time Italy tried it, and it didn't work.
What do you make of the whole Eddie Jones, Owen Farrell running into a dog? That is quite interesting. Do you reckon that was legitimate?
So,
nah.
Well,
I don't either.
I think he took a bump. The dog wasn't involved. I think he took a bump. I don't think he was ever in doubt for the game.
Do you reckon the dog was involved? No.
No.
Good,
no.
Good, good,
I
good,
don't
good,
think
good.
The dog was involved. I'll say that again.
Yeah.
Dog not involved. He did take a bump and might have sat out one session or half of a session, but he was never in doubt for the game.
Right.
That's my take on
things. Did you notice how inventive they were with using him around the field? Incredibly inventive. So, Owen Farrell, at one point, he was even standing at 9 at a line-out.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. And they were putting Youngs into the lineout. So Youngs was going into lineout as the
first receiver. Yeah,
spinning around,
which teams seem to do a lot these days. Put the scrum half there.
Then Owen Farrell comes in at scrum half, and then he kind of sort of drifts out. And that was the first Joseph try.
I didn't notice that. I did notice that for the Joseph tries and the Watson tries, that the interplay when Ford and Farrell and Joseph have a little bit of time, it's a combination of great lines, changing lines at the last minute, and perfect handling, putting the ball right where it needs to be. And that kind of three-way combination, and particularly the fact that players are changing their lines right at the last minute.
Yep.
So just off foot, wrong foot defenders, hold defenders, and then Joseph cutting through is brilliant.
Yeah, there'd be some bottles of champagne being poured over the floor in that England changing room after the game.
He was one of the players that I had on my declining list. I thought success had gone to his head, that he's overrated. And basically, he was living on his past reputation. I take that.
Yeah, well, most predictions of yours we take with a pinch of salt, Jay, if we're
well,
honest.
All of us have made some incorrect predictions.
Yeah, that's true.
In this Six Nations.
Yeah, God, people's money is not safe if they put it in our hands. That's for certain.
No. And the last thing is, Nathan Hughes finally seems to have acclimatised to international rugby.
I always expected him to get more and more used to it. I mean, it did help that the game was just so open, and England were so dominant, and not just dominant in the back line, they were dominant at the set piece.
Just everywhere.
Their line out was dominant.
It was embarrassing. Like, Scotland were, I don't know, how much is it that England were amazing, and how much Scotland just did, like you said, passive was the word, and they just, it was a little bit embarrassing.
I'm going to go further, it's not passive. I think conceding 3 tries on first phase ball is incompetent. It's not passive.
Yeah.
Oh well, it was passive defence, but that tactic of having that passive defence does seem borderline incompetent. Yeah. It's
Scotland, you've got to remember as well, for the first say 20 minutes or so, although England were racking up the points, Scotland weren't actually playing that bad. I mean, they had one passage of play with 16 phases.
Yeah.
But they had 16 phases in the England 22, which is why they never broke them down. They got to the England 22 twice, I think, both of which resulted in turnovers and prolonged periods of play. They just couldn't do anything once they got close in, which goes back
which
to my
Which was point. And rarely happened anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was 61-21. I mean, this is just... We'd be saying, if it was the same score and it was Italy, it would be another excuse for people to say, see, Italy shouldn't be in the tournament.
Completely agree.
It's embarrassing. It was almost as embarrassing as the caption that ITV Sport put up for Greg Laidlaw. Did you see it? You're laughing like you saw it.
I saw it.
So firstly, Greg Laidlaw looked beautiful. Double tweed.
Yeah.
With a lovely tartan pocket square.
And there's a Prince of Wales chat going on with his waistcoat, which I really liked.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Really, and the caption that came up on ITV Sport after the game was, Greg Laidlaw lost... And no, this is where they sort of go, this is our guest, this is our special guest, our guest of honour.
Thank you for coming and spending the day with us and imparting your knowledge.
The ITV Sport caption, Greg Laidlaw lost each of 5 tests v England, twice at Twickenham. Not so many caps as captain, X number of points, played in this many Calcutta Cup games.
Yeah,
lost all of his games against England.
Won the European Challenge Cup 2 years ago with Gloucester, captain Gloucester. None of that.
No.
Cheers for coming, Greg.
Not Rugby World Cup quarter finalist 2 years ago.
Oh, dear. But I mean, it was just so good to see. That was the performance we've been waiting for as England fans, Phil.
Yes.
I love the fact JB said yes. As England fans, that's the one we've been waiting for.
As England fans, that is exactly what you've been waiting for.
Really. And it has been so frustrating not to get the performances, but on the flip side of that, to not play well and still manage to get the results and still stay in each competition.
I bet Ireland cannot wait for Saturday now.
Well, Ireland, if England had a rocket put up them from the poor performance against Italy, Ireland will have a rocket put up them.
Before we leave Scotland for a second, so Scotland's heavy defeat to England means that they now cannot pass Ireland next week. So even if England won, there was a chance, even if Scotland had lost this week, but... Yeah. Even by less than 15 points, that this coming weekend, or next weekend, we're recording this on Sunday, you know what I mean? If England beat Ireland and Scotland beat Italy, then Scotland would move ahead of Ireland in the rankings. That now isn't possible.
Oh, in the World Rugby Rankings.
In the World Rugby Rankings, which is important because there's no more international matches after the Six Nations until the Rugby World Cup pools are drawn.
Yeah.
So Scotland had a shout of getting into the top pot, which would have meant they would have avoided New Zealand, Australia, England.
Yeah.
Mm.
Ireland now control their own destiny. If they beat England by any margin, they keep that fourth position. But if Wales win in Paris and England beat Ireland in Dublin, Wales go from seventh to fourth and displace Ireland from pot one.
Amazing news.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That does show how close it is.
Yeah.
And from Wales' perspective, how important that result was.
Yeah. Absolutely. So when the Rugby World Cup draw happens in May, New Zealand, England, Australia, and either Ireland or Wales will be in pot one. Pot two will probably contain Scotland, Ireland or Wales, France and South Africa. But potentially Ireland or Wales potentially avoid that group of death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
do you want to talk about the Wales game?
Sure.
Yeah,
I mean, there were so many incredible England performances. It's almost hard to name. Maro Itoje looked barnstorming. In fact, my favourite point in the whole game. I can't remember which player it was. I think it was John Barkley. Yeah, it was John Barkley. John Barkley on his own try line started having a little scuffle with an England player, Dylan Hartley, perhaps. I can't remember. Yeah. And Maro Itoje just walked over to John Barkley, started patting him on the head in a really patronising way.
There's a few bits. Got a little bit tasty in kind of modern rugby tasty terms. A little bit of pushing and shoving. No fist thrown, of course.
Yeah, Jim Telfer wouldn't have called that anything, would he? That's just handbags.
But Richie Gray and Courtney Laws squaring up was quite interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Courtney Laws has been some player this tournament.
Yeah, he's really come on.
Laws and Launchbury, they've been the best second row partnership in the whole tournament. They've been exceptional. Even when England were playing poorly, their work rate has been,
and not even
enormous.
Partnership, I'd say individually they've been the best two players individually.
Yeah, second row. But you were talking 12 months ago as Cruis and Itoje as probably the best lock pairing or second best lock pairing, or up there in the conversation as the best lock pairing in the world. And now England have got a completely different lock pairing that is also in contention for the best lock pairing in the world.
Incredible, isn't it?
It really is. No, one thing we do have to talk about. We mentioned the yellow card, but the much maligned television match officials. I had one of my biggest fist pumps of the whole tournament. Nathan Hughes is... it was a late tackle he put in when a Scottish player kicked the ball, and then he tackled, and it was a late tackle, but it was a tackle.
Yeah.
And it was a penalty, absolutely right. The referee's initial reaction was, right, I want to have a look at that. It's at least a yellow card. At least a yellow card. And he put himself in this position. He watched it and went, right, I'm thinking, is that yellow or is that red? Probably going to go with yellow. And the television match official... And this is one of the only times I can remember a television match official basically pulling a referee back and going, hey, what are you doing?
He said he has wrapped... It was late. He has wrapped the arms. It's around the chest, not the head. Therefore, do you want to reconsider your yellow card?
Yeah.
And I thought that was brilliant the TMO. And it's... I always go back to this kind of layering up of things. So, yeah, it was late. Categorically, it was late. The ball had gone. It wasn't high. And at first glance, at full speed, it looked like because he bounced off him, he might not have wrapped the arms. But he did. There was a clear attempt to wrap both arms. So perfect by the TMO from me.
It was brilliant, letting the boys play.
Which of the Scotland players do you think this has really damaged their Lions chances for?
So I would say...
Finn Russell.
Well, Finn Russell to an extent...
He was awful. Tommy Seymour was dreadful.
Tommy Seymour didn't have a good game. I'd say the Gray brothers.
Yeah. Definitely.
You've got three England players there who are, in that game, definitely moved ahead of them.
I'd tell you the guy who hasn't been harmed by it is Hogg. He got actually, you know, I'm not sure he didn't want to be concussed.
He only played 14 minutes or so, didn't he?
But actually, that's probably a blessing in disguise for his life chances.
Yeah.
So, you know, he can. The other guy, Fraser Brown. I mean, everyone was talking about Fraser Brown.
Oh, I know.
You know, coming on leaps and bounds. He must be the Lions hooker. There's no other good candidates. Wrong. And who was the one?
There's two others for me.
Gone.
Hugh Jones.
Yeah.
Took two tries very well.
Yeah.
And when they finally in the second half got some ball into Tim Visser's hands, he showed how destructive he can be.
Yeah,
he was good.
Hamish Watson performed pretty well throughout the whole thing. Wasn't bad, but pretty well.
I was underwhelmed with Hamish Watson just because I was expecting him to be so competitive and so fierce at the breakdown. Mm. And I do think there was an argument that possibly the referee didn't let him do as much as he wanted to. But he was largely anonymous, I thought.
This must be so annoying. If you're one of those Fetcher type sevens and you're a breakdown expert, you know, in fact, anyone in the pack, and every time you come up from a lineup, you're just watching Jonathan Joseph run through your line. I mean, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
You can't do anything.
There's nothing you can do when you're running backwards.
No.
The best, my favourite tweet of the whole on Twitter, in the Twitter sphere, in reaction to the England-Scotland result, was breaking news. Nicola Sturgeon seeks rematch as the result isn't to her liking. Thinking about an autumn 2018 decider.
Tell you what.
Very good.
A Scotland win would almost certainly put Indy Ref 2 back on the agenda.
You can just see the national pride at all-time high.
Yeah, they need to avoid Scotland beating England at anything, and Andy Murray shouldn't be allowed to compete at Wimbledon this year.
Yeah, that's what I would say to Scotland. You're quite good at tennis, so chin up. Sorry, that sounded really patronising.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, deliberately meant to. That's kind of Scotland England, just a slightly embarrassing, demoralising.
Demoralising,
without a doubt.
The right word.
Just to segue between games on the subject of refereeing, we're just talking about brilliant TMO officiating. I thought Wayne Barnes, as much as some people across the Irish Channel, from what I can see, particularly a website called Bench Warmers. Who seem to instigate...
Don't give him the publicity.
No, you're right. I take that back.
I'll edit that.
A lot of people seem to be having a bit of a pop at Wayne Barnes. I thought he was absolutely brilliant.
I thought he was great. And I did actually like... So you put that comment on our Twitter, and we did have quite a few Irish fans who...
Yeah, we did.
Who are clearly... Obviously, they listen to us, so they're clearly well-informed, and they completely agreed.
So here's why, if I was Irish, I'd be very aggrieved by Wayne Barnes. it's not because of the Henshaw joining the ruck thing. That was a bloody good call.
What a great call!
It really was. Like,
and how and it. How infuriating if you're in a, if you, well if
Rory Best who was
he going was over
man, yeah. yeah and it was. The only issue I have with that is Wayne Barnes did say it clearly stopped. Henshaw comes in yeah. and then it pushes it forward. I think it was they were going
it
over.
It doesn't matter.
It was going
they
over
were going
regardless.
Over anyway,
it was just unnecessary,
which makes it even more yeah. infuriating for Rory yeah. Best.
Now, why you'd be aggrieved as an Ireland fan is I think Wales deserved a yellow card in the first five. I mean, anything to do with killing the ball in the 5 metre line is an automatic yellow card.
And Sexton got
yeah, Sexton
got yellowed
got
for
yellowed.
It.
I think Francis should have gone, and there's someone else as well who was, you know, just lying all over it. And that's just, you just can't do that. I think that, to me, that's more of a yellow, I find that more offensive than dump tackling and throwing fists. Killing the ball in the 5 metre.
It's so cynical.
Yeah.
It's so cynical.
So you just got to go.
And it should, because there is the mentality, if you kill the ball and you give away a penalty, you give away 3 points rather than seven, it should be a yellow card.
Yeah.
Because then it is, well, you've not given away the seven, but you're 10 minutes without, which should be at least 7 points.
Yeah. I completely forgot to trail it. I've got an amazing game that we've been sent in to play in a little bit.
Oh.
An amazing game. It involves adult movies and,
yes.
and rugby.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say at the minute.
Okay. Two of our favourite things.
Right, so yeah, back to I just thought Wayne Barnes let the boys play.
Yeah,
and he only blew the whistle as a last resort, but in a really good way. That wasn't it. Didn't create chaos. He was just saying, right, ball's won now, let go. And it was I just thought it was a masterclass in refereeing.
He was very clear in his explanations as well.
Yeah. It's good, isn't it, that we're talking about Wayne Barnes? Cause I'm guessing we're all talking about Wayne Barnes because we're avoiding discussing our predictions for this game.
I don't remember what I predicted what? Now.
The only bit of solace I can take from this whole thing is I said tongue-in-cheek, I did not mean this, tongue-in-cheek, the only way Wales could win this game is if Alan Wynne-Jones rolled back the years, Sam Orbison has a stormer, and George North looks like George North of 2 years ago. Boom.
Well,
I did not expect it to happen, though.
They all did that.
Well, Sam Warburton has been played how he has been playing in this tournament.
Yep.
Yep.
Alan Wynne-Jones was really good.
Again, as he has yeah. been playing well in
he
this tournament.
He has been playing well.
But George North?
It's a different George North.
It really was.
And again, in the week, Sean Edwards came out and said, yeah, we've given him a warning. He was very open about, we've told him it's, you know, you're in danger of being dropped.
Yeah, it's a bit harsh, isn't it? Because it's not like George North is out partying. He's just not playing well. And he doesn't go, it's not one of those things like, oh, what's George up to this time? Like, he's throwing offloads or behind the back passes or... These aren't mental errors. He's just not playing well. It's like,
yeah,
you know, well, the punishment beatings will continue until morale improves.
There was an element where I thought what he did yesterday was against Ireland was actually go hunting the ball a little bit more than he has been.
Well, mm-hmm. So this is where I think the change has been. He has been largely anonymous, not getting the ball and not getting the ball in space. He's in the previous few games, he's been getting the ball with 2-3 men in front of him.
Yeah.
Which is very, even for George North, it's very difficult. But they found a way to get the ball to him early with space and on the front foot, and it made such a difference.
Now, I am going to tell you, this game has it provided me with somewhat of a revelation of exactly how foxing is going to be used pretty much forever and a day now.
Is this now a term we're all using?
Yeah,
who started this foxing thing?
Phil, last week.
I read it somewhere. The fox.
No, I've heard it being used widely, but I didn't. I just want to know where this came from. Because
well, tell me what you think, Tim. Because I know you don't like foxing. I know you don't like kicking. That's not
true.
Yeah, it is true. You had a good whinge about box kicking the other day.
No, I don't like box kicking as a tactic. Because the territorial gain you make of 10 meters,
So are we agreed that you don't like box kicking?
I think it's overused at times, yeah. And unfortunately, in Northern Hemisphere teams particularly, it's really effective because we don't have the skill set to be able to do what New Zealand and whatnot can do.
Okay, so, and you don't like foxing?
I don't mind that. You just deal with it, all like right. like France did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, anyway, just bear with me. So Sean O'Brien engaged in a tiny bit of fox.
Oh yes, he did.
Yeah. By the way, he sounds ridiculous when he gets picked up on microphone. He's got such a high pitched voice. anyway, that's besides the point. CJ Standers in makes a tackle. Sean O'Brien goes foxing in the Welsh 5 meter. This to me makes perfect sense because why would you want to contest a ruck there? They're not going to play it anyway, and you're going to disrupt the kick. So you kind of get it both ways, Tim. Which is, yeah, you don't like foxing, but there's an actual use for it, and also there's going to be no kicking. Or maybe actually I'm wrong. Maybe there will be a box kick because you've got that 1 meter of space.
Yeah. So you have to make quite a snap box kick.
Yeah, it's going to have to be a snappy box kick. But that's going to mean there's going to be a lot of teams having to keep it ball in hand in the 22 until that fox tactic becomes less feasible further out.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. I just think the game was brutal as well. The physicality of that match. It was just... It was gladiatorial stuff, wasn't it?
I can't remember. Did it go from like... It's like 8 minutes in.
Yeah.
And you had the...
Oh, yeah, that massive hits by... Yep.
So George North carried into Carney.
Bounced off Carney. He's a brave fella, Carney.
Yeah. O'Brien smashes into Henshaw. No, sorry.
O'Brien smashes into Bigger.
And then Henshaw writes off someone.
Yeah, Baldwin.
Well, yes. Was that who it was?
Yeah. And then Tipperick was carrying... Tipperick got smashed by...
And this is another reason that I was wrong, because I didn't think that the Wales could deal with that sort of intensity or... get that kind of intensity. And also I basically bet against Dan Biggar. You never bet against Dan Biggar. You never do it. Well, never.
So the two most impressive things from Wales were probably George North outright and then Wales's defence. Yeah. Wales's defence all match was heroic, brutal, brilliant. So Sean Edwards, there was a picture of Sean Edwards 5 minutes ago kind of fist pumping up in the stands. He must be so proud, so pleased with that performance, because that is what he has been instilling in them.
Well, I'm going to put the onus on another area of the Welsh game. I thought Tipperick had a great game.
Yeah.
And he was so effective in the line-out. And I'm starting to wonder now. In fact, I'm not wondering. I'm going to say, I blame this loss basically on the back row, the Irish back row selection. Because when O'Mahony came on, he looked much better.
Hey, I called it last week. I said, don't pick O'Brien and Stander with Heaslip.
O'Brien, to me, you've got to be careful because he's a world-class player. I think he is on the decline. He doesn't play enough for Leinster. We infrequently see him throughout most of the years. Lions year, probably see him a bit more. most importantly, the balance doesn't work. O'Mahony, as well, is so much better in the line-out than O'Brien. That's just how it should look. I mean, I understand what they're trying to do, but it didn't work. And if you look at the Welsh lads, you've got basically two fetchers. You've got completely different skill sets, and they play them off the park.
And they're so athletic, though, Tipperick and Warburton, aren't they? They're the motors on them, getting round.
I don't know what happened to Ireland. They were so... another area I think was a really poor selection for Ireland, and we've been talking about this as well through this tournament, is the wingers. They were really poor.
I thought Earls did all right.
No, I didn't think Earls
made some good breaks, I thought. Decent. He beat a few defenders. He's quite... good off the good getting going.
They lost it like all they but, did. They were really predictable and went for this high kick thing, and Zeebo and Earls lost out.
I've got
and
to
lost
say,
that one. Like, it was just really predictable. And
I do agree with you. I don't think Earls is the best winger in Ireland. I've been on record saying that. I think it'd be incredibly harsh to drop Zeebo after the autumn he's had. And you know he does bring something a little bit extra to that Ireland backline that no one else does.
Tommy Bowe's day.
I hope to God that isn't the last time we see Tommy Bowe in Iron Shirt. I hope that
his international career doesn't finish like that, going off a minute after he's come on.
Yeah.
But
he's too great a servant to the game.
I agree with that. But he just didn't deserve his spot on that bench.
Yeah, I think
it was a nostalgia call. And
So we got what he deserved, yeah?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying...
It's the kind of selection to close out a winning game.
Yeah, and you don't have a winger as a closer, surely.
Well, he's more of a closer, particularly these days, because he's very good at the high ball.
Yep.
Very good on the high ball, very solid. He's more of a closer than someone like Gilroy, who is better going forward today,
and
but less solid.
Ireland dominated Wales under the high ball. Completely dominated them.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't get much change out of it on the wing, the one they kept going to. They didn't. Anyway, I'm going to say that Ireland should be very, very happy with their win, but still there's an area of Wales, should be very happy with their win. I think there's a big area of their game that's still a big concern for me and didn't look any better against Ireland. And Ireland were just really predictable and a bit flat.
Go on.
Ball carrying forwards, they're really poor. Really poor. The Welsh pack carried the ball 74 times. How many metres did they make?
Less than 30. 50. Less than 50.
30 metres.
55 metres in 74 ball carries. So they make, the Welsh pack made an average 0.74 metres per carry. The Irish pack carried 80 times and made 128 metres. The leading ball carrier for Wales was Ross Moriarty, 16 carries.
I'd have thought that.
20 metres.
Okay. Yeah.
The next best carrier, Alan Wynne-Jones, 14 metres off 12 carries. And they were the only two forwards to get more than 1 metre per carry on average.
I guess it's what these carriers are designed to set up and do, though.
So Nathan Hughes, just to give a comparison, he carried 11 times for 74 metres, so 7 metre carries on average.
So Nathan Hughes made more yards than the entire Welsh pack in 44 fewer carries.
Do you think it's a problem? I'm not sure it is. I don't know if I understand the stat well enough to say that is definitively a problem for Wales.
So I don't think the personnel is necessarily a problem. I actually think it's the way that they're playing. They're just playing this either pick or go, or just the unbelievably predictable one out carry, same way.
And they seem to catch it before they then start moving towards contact.
Yeah, yes. that doesn't help as well. So yeah, the static and the predictable means it is.
They were, in fairness to Wales, they were playing flatter, as the interception showed. I guess the couple of tries that they got, one was lucky with Jamie Roberts. Well, you make your own luck.
Yeah.
And he had 3 yards. I can't believe he made it. the North one was off first phase ball. What was the second North one like? I can't remember now. I've got a feeling it was a bit of a run-in.
The first North one was brilliant with the Scott Williams, Reese Webb into play.
And yes.
Then the Reese Webb, that long pass at full pace. And then Halfpenny even threw a pass
in. Yes.
Unbelievable. Lee Halfpenny threw a pass that was almost perfectly accurate. Not quite, though.
I did want Halfpenny was drifting as he threw the pass. I did just want him to straighten a little bit.
Yeah.
It would have made it so much easier.
Do you reckon all the Ireland fans were shouting when they were attacking, "Give it to Halfpenny!"
Yeah.
Is it something about fullbacks that don't pass? Because Mike Brown does not pass the ball, does he?
Not interested, is he?
I mean, he quite often beats the first man, and he's very solid, and he very rarely gets turned over when he goes into contact, and that's a good thing, but he never passes.
That was astonishing, that game. I could not believe how few times he passed.
I put a tweet out on our account to that effect, and then I was watching it going, sod's law, he's going to put in a beautiful pass, and I'm going to get loads of people going, "What are you talking about?" But actually, he just backed it up the rest of the game.
Well, I think the Halfpenny game was actually quite encouraging because he was rubbish at Halfpenny things. So, like, he missed kicks. I've never seen that for a long time. He dropped high balls. He's basically one of the best in the world.
He dropped a couple of high balls as well.
But he did actually play really well. He was still, the other Lee Halfpenny thing he's world-class at is being in position. He was still great at that. But, his all-round running game, attacking game, he passed the ball. Pretty good, actually. Pretty good. Area of interest for you. So three areas of interest.
Ooh.
Three areas of interest.
Got a shopping list of stuff.
So we've got basically a lot of head-to-heads we can have a look at. Undoubtedly, I still think Murray is the number 1-9. But how much has the Reece Webb performance made you change your mind?
Yeah, it's those two in it.
Reece Webb
from
two. Because we've seen a lot of Conor Murray. Reece Webb's been injured pretty much since the World Cup. It feels like I can't remember how many games he's actually played in that time. But he does seem to be coming in fast.
What's your second point?
Second point, we thought the front row was basically a slam dunk Ireland 3. Is that now?
No, we didn't say that. We said Hooker is the big question mark.
Well, yeah, but we did say you'd definitely be having probably three props from Ireland travelling with the Lions.
I'd still go with that.
I'd still go with that. But Wales played well.
I'm not saying you get your props from Wales. I just think it does I think the England boys look even better now.
It's a question mark on, yeah.
And the last one is, do you reconsider the back row makeup? Because Stander, you say, would be nailed on. I think most Irish people would say, O'Brien is nailed on. But do they now go back to Tipperick? Do they look at Warburton?
I think you're going to...
Moriarty coming into form?
You're going to end up taking probably six flankers, something like that.
Yeah.
You'll take a couple of number eights, and then five flankers. Depending, obviously, if you take someone like Itoje or Hendo, who can play second row or
let's
back
see
row.
After next weekend. England Ireland, that Ireland in Dublin against England.
I think Gatland will want to take both Warburton and Tipperick.
He'll want to take both Warburton, Tipperick.
He'll take Warburton, Tipperick, and Faletau.
Cracknell.
Exactly.
Moriarty.
Dan Lydiot.
Yeah, Lydiot will be on the train. Yeah.
They're all on the plane already.
Ian Goff's back, apparently.
One thing then from the weekend. Where do we stand on Danny Kerr's showboating try celebration?
Not bothered.
Damien Stewart tweeted us, showboating, boys. Are you happy with that?
If you're winning by 60 points, do what you want. If you scored 60 points, do what you want.
I almost think because we were winning by so much, just nonchalantly sliding in.
Yeah.
We actually would have been a bit... would have been better.
I did like JJ when he got his hat-trick try and he just like dabs it down, throws it into the crowd.
Yeah.
Here I am, boys.
Now, I used to play with a guy called Joe Kennedy. And Joe's thing, right, was to put the ball down. And as he put the ball down, he would basically kind of bowl it back up and throw it back over his head.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you put the ball down and then you just wheel your arm around the... away it went. I quite liked that, and so I tried to do it, and I dropped the ball over the line, doing the kind of the wheel celebration.
In training, surely?
No, my game.
In the game.
In a game. Oh, God, what are you doing?
Congleton or somewhere like that.
I get so nervous watching people, particularly if it's a big game and there's real pressure on the line.
Yeah.
And particularly for me, or watching England or watching Ulster, if someone gets over the line and they're going to dive or they're going to do something, I've just seen too many highlights or lowlights of people dropping it over the line.
It's a weird karma thing, isn't it?
It is. Was it Leguizamon for London Irish?
Was it Leguizamon?
And even better than that, the one from back in the day, look it up on YouTube, Will Carling for Harlequins.
Who was it? Is it Darren Lockheed that picked him up?
I don't remember.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's just picked him up and carried him over the dead ball line.
There's been quite a few in the sevens as well, with people running like 80 metres, casually jogging in the last 20, without realising that someone's very quickly catching them up and then having it knocked out of their hands.
Certain right.
Yeah, it makes me so nervous, so infuriating. It's one of the things that I used to hate watching Chris Ashton for England doing the Ash Splash. Because I'm like, you're going to drop it, you idiot. Yeah. Why are you taking this kind of risk?
Inevitable that it was going to happen.
Yeah. I've never seen him drop it.
You know, at schoolboy rugby, I think our second... I mean, we weren't a good rugby school by any stretch, but the PE master made us dive with the ball in hand over the line.
Yeah.
Continually until we learned not to showboat. But there you go. Anything else about this game? Oh, sorry, there was one other thing. No, it wasn't.
You sure?
No, I'm good.
You sure?
Absolutely positive.
All right, okay.
Just the other thing for me is, from Ireland's perspective, so Ireland going into next week, they're obviously going to be very frustrated and they're going to be hurting. But the key point where they lost this was just how blunt their attack was, or how blunted it was by Wales, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is one and the same. But where do you see... So if they are going to score some tries against England, which I'm assuming they're going to have to because England have got a few tries in them,
yes.
Where is it going to come from?
Shall we save this because it's our featured game this week, isn't it?
Oh, good point.
Save it.
Well, so we'll talk about next weekend's the grand finale of the Six Nations, which England have already won. Incidentally, England in the women's tournament, in the under-20s tournament and in the men's tournament are all up for a Grand Slam next week. England. So everyone talks about, you know, we need to get rid of Italy to make it more competitive. Actually, maybe England needs to join the Quad Nations to make it more competitive. I sound like a proper smug Englishman saying that. We should also mention, not now, but in a bit, the fact that there was a big game today. One of the teams we're going to be watching next weekend in Romania, Georgia, had a big game. 60,000 people or 55-odd thousand people turned up in Tbilisi.
What was the eventual score?
They won. They got a bonus point win, did Georgia. So they can win that tournament next week. So we've been sent a game to play by Ross Devonport, listener of the pod. So thank you very much, Ross. And Ross has come up with a game. He said it won't be a Nazi war criminal, a Springbok or Nazi war criminal, but I'm trying my best to get as close as I can. And the game that Ross has come up with is USA Eagle or Adult Film Star. In other words, US Eagle or Lady Spread Eagle.
Very nice. Well done, Ross.
So I'm going to play along as you're listening. JB and Phil, I'm going to ask you the questions. I'm going to give you a name and you're going to have to guess whether the name is the name of a female adult movie star.
Obvs.
Or a male American rugby player, past or present. The first name, Madison Hughes. Madison Hughes. Is Madison Hughes someone who may play on the wing or someone who may take it in the ring?
Oh, no. No, no, no. New death.
Is this all right? Are we okay with this?
We'll be fine.
It's a game. Thank you, Ross. Thank you, Ross.
Oh, dear.
I'm only reading it. Don't shoot the messenger.
Righto. So,
what was the name of that adult dating website? The one that was like for married people.
Oh, I don't know. What was it?
No, the one that...
That was Madison something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Madison.
Ashley Madison.
Was it okay.
Yeah, not Madison Hughes.
I'm going for... Madison.
Yeah, you can pick first on this one, Phil.
I'm going for a US Eagle.
I'm going to go for an adult entertainer.
Madison Hughes is the current USA Sevens captain.
Women's captain?
Men's captain.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Born in England, attended Dartmouth College in the States. So 1-0 to Phil. By the way, Ross Devonport is in America himself. He's in Deerfield Beach, Florida. And
you're going to give out a spare room as well?
Plays for Florida Atlantic University RFC. That's his local club. And formerly Harrow, Middlesex and Ruislip.
So, oh, wow, nice.
There you go. Next one then. JB, you can pick first on this one.
Thanks, Tim.
Jamie Lick.
Don't waste my time. USA Eagle.
Is Jamie Lick...
Oh, sorry.
Is Jamie Lick someone who has big hits or fake tits?
Jamie Lick is a USA Eagle, without doubts.
I think it is it's way too obvious.
Too obvious.
I'll go for adult movie star.
Yeah.
Jamie Lick is a second row from New York Old Blue Club.
There you go.
Made his debut for America in 2005 against Canada.
Too obvious.
As part of the Super Cup in Tokyo.
Yeah, he paired up with Damien Double Ender.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, so that's 2-1 to Phil. The next name on the list. Jaden James. Is Jaden James a fan of Blazers or someone who appears on Brazzers?
Oh, God.
Which I've not heard of, by the way. Thanks, Ross, for...
Ross, whatever that is.
Whatever Brazzers is.
I'm going for an adult movie star.
I'm going for the other one.
Jaden James is a film star.
Yes.
That's appeared in 100 movies since starting her adult film career in November 2006. Wiki Porno says, quote, She's known for her perky breasts, round bum, and ferocious attitude. I'm reading it out. Do you want me to stop?
Tone down the wiki references.
I only went onto your Google search history, Jay, and found that.
Oh, no, you haven't.
Okay. Riley Steele. JB, you can pick first. Riley Steele is... Does Riley Steele do questionable things in the showers or make adult movies?
I used to play with a guy called Ben Steele, I think, which means nothing. Riley Steele is a USA Eagle.
I'm going for porn star, please.
Phil, already with a 3-1 lead, is correct again.
Yes, Riley Steele. Give me a ding.
Give me a ding.
Yeah.
Riley Steele will give you a ding. Riley Steele grew up in California, worked at Starbucks before making her adult career. First scene was in the 2008 Naked Aces 5.
Naked Aces 5. Hang on, there's a Naked Aces 1, 2, and 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, which we've missed out on.
Must be a lucrative franchise.
And Britt Howard. Britt Howard. Does Britt Howard... Hold on.
Let's try and turn the crudeness down.
Okay.
Just a touch.
Does Britt Howard make big tackles or is a fan of big tackles?
Either one of those would work. Britt Howard. Distant cousin of Michael Howard, that's a politician. Pat Howard. Yes, he's going to be a USA Eagle.
I think you're right. But I'm going for adult film.
It is USA Eagle.
Yeah!
Eagle scrum half in the early 2000s, played for San Francisco Golden Gates.
That's a hell of a club.
Yep. Olive Khalifi.
Sorry?
Olive.
Is this still going?
Yeah, one more. This is the last one. Okay. Olive Khalifi.
Give me USA Eagle.
Olive Khalifi... I don't understand that one. Okay. Is Olive Khalifi...
It's probably best if you don't understand...
Does Olive Khalifi perhaps play fullback or like it bareback? Thank you, Ross Devonport, again. Ross Devonport.
Oh, God.
Ross Devonport. In-depth preparation, Ross.
A lot of effort's gone into this.
Give me USA Eagle.
Phil, you have extended your lead. You have won. Olive Khalifi is a prop who plays for Sacramento Express in pro rugby, or did at least, if pro rugby still even exists.
It does still exist, we think.
Is it going to exist next year?
Think so. Sounds like it. Although Doug hasn't paid a lot of his bills, apparently. So
that's an issue.
Yeah. That outstanding amount of effort and research has gone into that, and for which we are very, very grateful. Ross Devonport with US Eagle or Lady Spread Eagle. Top work. You have a quiz.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't cross a line there, did I?
No. Didn't cross the whitewash.
Right, okay. There was one other bit. We got sent a message about the Georgia-Russia game. Bearing in mind we've been talking about the peak T.O. horn.
Oh, you want the peak T.O. horn?
Peak T.O.
Wait for it. And now rave.
This piece of music is used by Georgia in their stadium in Tbilisi every time they score a try.
Brilliant.
Fact.
Incredible.
Another fact, Milton Hogg is on the rugby dungeon.
Ding!
This week.
So Milton Hogg, as in Georgia coach.
Yeah, on the rugby dungeon. So if you want everything you need to know about Georgia rugby this week, and you do need to know, because it's going to be a big deal next week.
It is a very big deal next week.
We're so excited about this podcast. It started out, just if you're new to the podcast, let's just briefly explain where this came about.
It started off in a 600K studio in XFM, and we downgraded successfully to my basement.
No, I mean, last year we went to America for the first Premiership game played in New York.
Yeah, we did.
Wanted another lads' weekend away. We thought that was going to be another Premiership game out there in March.
Which is not.
That game has been kiboshed. Maybe coming back next season. We'll wait and see on that. So we wanted a bit of a weekend away. Couldn't get tickets in Dublin for England v Ireland. Looked at the European Rugby Cup. What is that called again, Phil? Rugby Europe Championship.
Nations...
The 2017 Rugby Europe Championship. But it has other titles with nations and cups and championships.
There's different levels of it.
You'd have thought this would be the bit of marketing you could nail down fairly easy.
It's me forgetting it.
Just get the name right.
Anyway, so we saw in the calendar there was a game happening in Bucharest, and it was the two teams that of the Tier 2 nations from Europe did really well in the World Cup. Our up-and-coming nations, Georgia particularly, they're travelling to Romania in the final weekend. Everyone thought it was going to be a Grand Slam decider in Dublin. It still is a tournament decider in Bucharest. So we're going to the only game with championships riding on the result, as it turned out. And so
I think there's World Cup places riding on the result as well.
I think Romania and Georgia have already guaranteed that they're going to be there. Spain are the ones that have got a big win this weekend. They beat Germany.
Did they?
And they had like 8,000 people watching their home game.
Did they?
And it's really on the rise in Spain. It's really exciting times.
It is, isn't it?
So we said we were going out to Romania, and then unbelievably, the numbers of people getting in touch going, yeah, we're going to come as well. We'll come along. If you do something live, we'll go. And then we ended up having to do tickets for a live show because there's more demand than we could accommodate, which mine's been blown. So thank you for your support. We're really looking forward to next weekend.
The ticketing was just a basic fire safety issue, really.
Oh, exactly that.
Yeah, because
limited capacity in the venue.
How much space have you got? Officially 90. Right, we've got 100. Okay.
Yeah, it's right. Hard and loose with that. But the point is, we didn't want I didn't want to have to turf out some big Romanian fellas who wanted a drink.
Yeah, who like deadlifting. No.
So yeah, we're going out. We're doing a live podcast in the old town in Bucharest. Apparently, it's a bit of a party atmosphere. We're not the only people as well. I've heard from one of the women from the administrators of Romania Rugby. They're expecting.
How do you do that? Because that's nearly impossible to do.
Well, it's all about who you know, isn't it? Anyway, I've been informed that there's going to be stag parties coming from Italy, from France. There's going to be
Italian stag parties. Will be interesting.
Yeah, so I think this could be a lot of fun.
Pack the wet look gel, boys.
So you need to keep a lookout on our Instagram, Egg Chasers Podcast, on our Facebook, Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, and on Twitter, Rugby Podcast. Wherever we are on social media, get there. It could be a lot of fun. And
what will you be wearing, Tim?
Well, one of the reasons this is possible, we have to say thank you. They got in touch last week, and as it turns out, they've been so helpful. They really want to make sure this happens and goes off with a bang. Our good friends at Raging Bull, who I used to play against Hartbury College when I was playing for Bath Uni in the Boosa Premier League. Mm-hmm. They were always well good. And they were always had their kit made by Raging Bull. And so I just thought it was team wear, but it's leisure wear. So I've got your sizes. Are you stuck on the nice blazer?
I will be having a blazer. Yes, definitely.
Blazer and chinos.
Yes, and I'm in the middle of polishing my shoes. I've got a good 4 hours invested in the right one now, and by the time we fly, I should be able. I might even take polish.
I feel a bit inadequate. So I haven't done a job ever that requires wearing shoes.
Yeah, but
necessarily.
Look, I like to polish shoes.
No, I know, but so I have a pair of shoes. I have a couple of nice pairs of shoes, but I don't pay them nearly enough attention that you do.
You need to cherish them.
I think your wife looks at those shoes and gets jealous.
Oh yeah,
about 100%. How much attention they get.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they're a mirrored shine, so she does a makeup, she does
exactly.
The hair in them.
Exactly, they're dual use. They keep my feet nice, warm, and smart. But yet, ladies can do the makeup in them too.
Exactly. Just you mentioned Hartbury College.
Yeah.
They've just won National One.
Yes, I was about to mention.
They're in the Championship.
They will be next year.
Wow.
But they've won it, so I've never
We're
seen.
In March.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've won 25 out of 25 games.
Who did they beat?
23 bonus points out of those 25. It is, and some of the teams they're playing, so Plymouth, Moseley, Roslyn Park, Coventry, Blackheath. They're playing some very big names. Big
are they
clubs.
Just students? They must have.
Yeah.
They must have like Gloucester Academy players as well.
Oh, yeah, but yes, yes.
No. In the Booster games on a Wednesday, they'll play just students. But the Saturdays, they must play more than that.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It'd be a great place for Gloucester to send their fringe players.
That's exactly what they do.
Yeah.
So Hartbury College are the guys that officially run the RFU coaching qualifications. So when you do coaching qualifications, it's Hartbury College.
It's an agricultural college, isn't it? Like equestrian, horse, equine studies and stuff like that, and farming kind
of
studies.
Very Gloucestershire, isn't it?
And a lot of rugby.
I think.
Well, congratulations, Hartbury.
Yeah, I think sadly, I think Macclesfield might have got relegated this week as well.
This week,
or like they're right on the verge.
Yeah. they're 15 points adrift at the bottom of the table. Yeah, so
who did Hartbury beat this week? Not that anyone really cares what.
Old Albanians.
Yes, I knew I knew the team.
57-21. They smashed old Albanians.
Goodness me.
Old Albanians who share their facilities with Saracens.
That's right, yeah. We do want a bad outfit themselves, actually.
No.
Right. No. Okay, well, enough of the championship talk.
Yeah, no, I can't say thank you enough to Raging Bull. The point, that's the Hartbury College thing started because, yes, they make team wear and stuff, but it was kind of new to me. And you mentioned it last week, JB, you see their stuff in, like,
House of Fraser.
Yeah, and yeah. I'd walk past that so many times, but, yeah, so Phil Vickery, man of many talents. And make some lovely.
Who knew he was
crisp,
a great tailor?
What was the shirt?
Poplin white shirt for me.
Crisp white poplin white shirt for Phil. Navy chinos for JB, and like mustard chinos. I think would be the ones I'd go for. Yeah, good stuff. I'm like the look of their wax jackets. But so thank you very much, Raging Bull, for helping make next weekend happen. Really appreciate it. And
absolutely.
We want to do more with you, please. More with you. You're good guys. Right. Where are we at?
We've got one more game to mention from the weekend.
Did you watch it?
I did.
I didn't.
So I watched it live. Live on Saturday. I was actually polishing some shoes while I watched this.
I watched it live, but I was cooking. I was preparing a shoulder of lamb, so I kind of didn't have my head on the game, really.
Well, this was interesting, I thought, because Italy, as they did against Wales, started very, very brightly.
Mm.
Tremendously brightly. Scored the first try from Sergio Parisse after 3 minutes, and they looked good. Campagnaro was making breaks, Gori was looking good, obviously Parisse was looking incredible. He did out the back door, round his back offload at one stage, which was just magnificent.
Oh my god, that was an incredible thing. He's just got that thing about him where he's like, right, I got this, boys, I got this.
Yeah, he gets everything right.
As he gets older, what they need to do is get the government to pay him whatever he's on in France to just like play when you want to play, play when you want to train.
Yeah,
do what you want. You're a government employee, an ambassador for the nation.
I've got a story for you. Right, so you said the government should pay Sergio Parisse, right?
Yeah.
Now I heard this out the other day after a conversation with a very nice man whose name I will not mention. Apparently in Ireland, do you remember when Johnny Sexton moved to Racing?
Yes, I do.
That was on the back of a court case which said, if you're Irish and you participate in some sort of national sport or culture, you get a tax break, but you've got to stay in Ireland for 10 years.
Yeah.
Unless you decide to move away, in which case you've got to pay back all the back taxes. So the court case actually defeated that, which meant Johnny Sexton could leave. Amazing.
You get tax back. Or at the end of your career, if you stay in Ireland, you still he
is that right? Johnny is that still going?
Yeah. Johnny Sexton isn't losing out, I don't think, because of that court case. But I don't know if I'm right in saying this. However, if you stay and play in Ireland, you at the end of your career, you get a load of money back. You get a load of your tax back.
Is that how it works?
I think so.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
So you pay it, they hold it, and then you get this big lump sum at the end.
Once you've served your time.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's quite...
Well, if someone actually knows that...
That's quite an incentive.
Or someone can share me a link. I'd love to read up on that. Anyway, sorry. So that's what they should do for Sergio.
France is nuts as well. Like, So Phil, could suddenly find your body works again and you want to play... you could play in French Division B and be paying, I don't know what, let's say 40 grand.
Yeah.
You're getting paid for a season. You could go over there. Within 1 week, you're injured...
Yeah.
You'll get paid by the French government.
Yeah. I like the sound of that.
Socialist hell.
So that's part of the reason why they don't mind buying, like, Johnny Wilkinson. Yeah, whatever. Because if he's injured, we're not paying.
Take a risk on
The government are paying it for us.
Yeah, Juan Smith. We can take a risk.
I've always thought that would be the dream signing for them.
I know. Oh, just to get another couple of years out of Stephen Ferris.
Yeah. Anyway.
Going back to the game. So Italy started brightly. But then they just capitulated. And...
Weird.
I mean, so, weird... Well, not weird, but it was the manner in which they did. So, we've spoken about Italy in the past and their limited access to players, but under Conor O'Shea, alongside Mike Catt and Brendan Venter, you've got an experienced, very intelligent coaching setup.
Agreed.
And if they're going to do anything, they've got to get them doing the basics right. Do you know how many tackles Italy missed in this game?
17.
17 would be the next highest from the Six Nations this week.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so it's more than that
28.
Then. 32.
55.
What?
55 tackles.
Goodness me, that's a
Last
lot.
Last week they didn't want to ruck. This week the new tactic was don't tackle.
So, you look at just... If you get the basic right, you've got a good foundation.
Last week was or 2 weeks ago was the fox. This was the ostrich.
It was quite incredible. Admittedly, you are playing against... So, the French back three, they're Brice Doulan, who is excellent. The two Fijian wingers, Vakatawa and Nakatasi. Fiku was on form.
But I hear his Lions chances have gone through the roof now.
Pickermore's Lions chances are right up there as well.
Good.
You are playing against good players, but it's the basics. Just you cannot miss. It's schoolboy. So it's very frustrating that after their incredible win against South Africa in the autumn. I was hoping that they would kick on and they'd really be pushing and picking up bonus points and certainly challenging for wins at home, but it feels like they've taken a few big steps backwards.
Yeah, this whole season feels like that. Outside of that Wales game, it's all been downhill.
Yeah, and that was the first. So the first 40 minutes of their Six Nations was pretty good.
Yep.
And then they had the disruption with the Fox against England, but besides that, not great.
Hmm. Right, shall we move on to next week's predictions?
Well, one other thing I'd just like to touch on.
Oh, go on then, Philip.
It's an international touch to it, but not Six Nations, and not Rugby Nations Championship European.
European Cup Nations Champions of Europe.
Kirtley Beale's leaving.
Oh, I know.
Go for Australia. So, Chica...
He won that battle. I mean, yeah. I was saying on last week's podcast, I mean, we made some awful predictions. JB predicted Scotland would win. I predicted Kirtley Beale would stay.
Yes, yeah.
We didn't do very well between us. That Alakadu on the train, he was drinking whiskey at the time. He'd obviously he'd obviously had a fair few. The one that told me Kirtley Beale would be staying.
That's a hell of a lot of money for one season. If they don't win the Heineken Cup, basically wasn't worth it.
Heineken Cup or the Avicii.
Yeah, if they don't win something, it's been a complete waste of cash.
I can see the argument, yeah. But they always signed him knowing it was a one-year deal. Like they did with Pietau the year before.
I ran into Kyle Eastmond on Friday.
Did you? In Oldham?
In Oldham, of all places.
Was he out getting lunch or something?
He was out getting lunch, and I interrupted his lunch to say, Hi, I'm JB.
Where was he eating? Was he eating?
Bar Expo. He just finished. He's on his way out. I was like, Kyle Eastmond? It's actually a lot bigger in real life than I thought he'd be.
He's short, but he's
wide.
Thick.
Yeah. He brushed me off very effectively, to be fair. I can see why he does so well in the Premiership with those sort of avoidance skills, and I'd have done the same.
I know it's his hometown, but the last time I remember, it seems to be something we do, is bump into future Sale Shark signings in eating lunch. I once went to Red's True Barbecue in Albert Square in Manchester, really good barbecue joint, and Muge was sat in there before, we were the first people to announce Brian Majati signing to Sale because I met him having lunch.
Didn't we also see a Wasps car in...
No, James Johnston. Saracen's car. It was a Saracen's car driving up Deansgate around the same time when James Johnston was rumoured. Well, one thing I did notice on Twitter is quite a few Sale Sharks players have been messaging Ben Spencer wishing him good luck with his baby.
Oh.
Well, joking aside, Kyle Eastmond was actually a very, very nice, accommodating guy. I'm not encouraging everyone to stop Kyle Eastmond in the street and talk to him, but very nice guy. Right, shall we do this week's predictions?
Absolutely.
Shall we kick off with the Leo Vegas best of the week?
So there's been no other signings and changes and stuff. I'm trying to think. There's been nothing big. There's still rumours flying around here, there, and everywhere.
And Sale,
JB's beloved Sale still haven't signed anyone.
Mark Jones, Will Cliff.
Oh, come on.
Both world class.
they've signed Josh Strauss Which is a good sign.
Well, let's remember that the five world-class players Steve Diamond was promising, four or five world-class players.
He's got three of them. And, you know, a couple of re-signings here and there. Yeah, it'd be fine. Absolutely fine.
But other than that, there's rumours flying around about various players. But
We basically, as a three, you need to get on the Sale Sharks bandwagon purely because it gives us an opportunity to watch good, solid rugby. That is the only reason.
when good teams come and visit the AJ Bell?
Yes, exactly. Because if you think about it, I mean, you know, if you're watching Sale Sharks this year, you've got the pleasure of watching Toulon, Saracens twice, Scarlets, it's important.
We went to the Wasps game.
Yeah.
We saw a couple of amazing tries from Wasps, and then they were outplayed for most of the rest of it.
Yeah.
I think the Kirtley Beale signing, obviously it's a big coup for Chica.
Is it Cheka or Chica?
Chica. Yeah. I don't know.
So do you think if Kirtley Beale was playing in Bath, he'd be so quick to go home rather than Coventry?
Well,
it's
London.
Clearly about the World Cup 2019, isn't it? This decision.
You'd say so. And he'll want all of his best players available for that. And Beale will want a shot at it.
Yeah.
Hell of a
James O'Connor to Worcester is one of the things doing the rounds.
Oh, I've not heard that one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that a good signing?
I don't know. It's just one of many rumours flying around.
Would that be a good signing?
It kind of fits in with Worcester with all their exciting, exotic backs.
Yeah.
But what's his name on the other wing?
Cooper Vooner. They've got some good young players. Perry Humphreys and is it Adams? Josh Adams. Yeah. They got some very talented young players. Would you want James O'Connor being signed at your club?
When I'm trying to bring in a load of talented kids? Bring them through
the
system? Not so much.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a great role model.
I'm sure he's fine.
My brother says he's a top lad. Played with him for a couple of years.
He sounds like he's good fun to go on the beers with.
I'm sure he's great fun to go on the beers with.
That's for sure.
Right. Predictions.
Yes, and time for a Leo Vegas featured game of the week, bet of the week, which could, if you don't listen to us, get you
great theme tune.
So what? Oh, you stopped the music, man.
Sorry, anyway, mate.
It's fine. So what was our featured game last week?
It was England-Scotland.
Oh, fine. So we got that right.
We got
the result right anyway, but that's no...
We got the result right.
But, let's just go over what other predictions we made.
I guess both me and you, Tim, I said by more than... 7 or more. You said by 14 or more, so correct.
Does that mean, JB, that your money is now zero? You've lost your charitable fund?
Yeah. Well, no, because it gets topped up again this week.
A proportion of it.
It might also mean, though, that none of us got any money because I forgot to put the bet on.
What?
So we're betting for charity. Me and Tim got the result right.
Yeah, that happened.
Wow.
We're definitely doing it this week.
Okay, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Good. Definitely this game's so easy to call. Because our featured game, our bet of the week with Leo Vegas, who have a partnership with Leicester Tigers and now have a partnership. You know, they want to pick a rugby team. They pick the one of the original traditional powerhouses in the English rugby game, Leicester Tigers. You'll see their name on the back of their shorts. And when they want to come to a podcast, they come to the original traditional rugby podcasting powerhouse that is Egg Chasers. Often imitated, never bettered.
Yes.
And imitation is the greatest form of flattery.
Exactly.
So we have, we're going to have a look at this game. England travelling to Ireland to win a possible second Grand Slam in a row.
And to go for the record for Tier 1 nations of consecutive wins.
Yes. So let's talk about this fixture then, because it's not quite as mouth-watering as it was several months ago, but it's still damn mouth-watering as a fixture.
Yes. Okay. So,
is there any stats to bring to the table, Philip?
So, Ireland have won one of the last 7 meetings between these two.
Is that it?
That is it.
Really?
Yeah. That was in Dublin 2 years ago when they won 19-9, if you remember it. And looking back, these are historically low scoring affairs. So only once in the last 8 fixtures has a team scored 30 or more points, and that was 2012 when England scored 30, won by 30 points to 9.
So we're expecting a low scoring affair.
Yeah.
History would suggest not loads of points, and Ireland getting only their second win in 9.
Yeah, so if they win the last 3 meetings at Dublin, England have won 2 out of the 3.
Okay, so I'm going to pose a question to you. Do you think the All Blacks result in November has skewed everyone's opinion of this Ireland team to the point that we can't really think straight about them?
So I want to say no, because there is more than that to the Ireland team. Before England won the Six Nations last year, they'd won the last 2.
Yeah.
And so there's 2 guys missing from those 2 Six Nations winning team. They are very big guys in O'Driscoll and Paul O'Connell.
Okay.
But the vast majority of the rest of the personnel are the same. There's not been any major, apart from those 2 players, there's not been any major fundamental changes right across the board, right across the team. So I don't think so. I think what it probably did was perhaps skew people's perception on their attacking ability.
Yeah.
Because they scored a huge number of points. But
They just took every chance that day.
They did. Everything went right for them, from Conor Murray's break to Henshaw crashing through with a few minutes to go.
Even with Corby coming on, slotting his kicks, everything went right.
Yeah. So I think, no, they're still a very good team, but they're perhaps slightly more blunt than some people might give them credit for, particularly based on that one performance.
Yeah. I just would add to that I think I'm broadly in agreement with you, but not based on the strength of the national team, but based on the strength of the provincial team. You know, they're basically taking the core of their players from Munster and Leinster, who have been phenomenal this year.
And Ulster.
Oh, and some from Ulster.
Yeah. But not the core. You're right, because a lot of Ulster's core was still there, demolishing Zebre by nearly 70 points.
That is true. So, yeah, they are a good team. I can't tell, right, if this Ireland team are likely to choke because, you know, against the Wales, or they're likely to pull something out of the bag like they did against New Zealand. They're probably the hardest team to predict in the Six Nations.
I tell you one thing. They will not be doing passive defence against that England backline. You will get Henshaw, Ringrose, Sexton, and whichever of the flankers, O'Brien.
I'm with you, Phil, from last week, by the way. I think the pain train would have been a better way to go against Wales. Easy to say with hindsight, but
it is, yeah.
And I don't think that the Farrell-led defence is going to be a passive defence either. I mean, that is his thing, isn't it? Rugby league line speed.
No, it will not. So they will, and it will be quite interesting, Farrell on Farrell.
Yeah, Farrell on Farrell crime.
He will know exactly, he will have so much game tape of when Owen Farrell has gone well and Owen Farrell has gone badly. And I am certain...
Do you reckon Andy Farrell will bust out some, like, home back garden videos from the archive and go, lads, look... Right, this is him when he was 11. Look how I do him on the outside when he was 10. Look, I left him.
Yeah.
I just ran around the gnome. I just used the gnome as my decoy runner and did him.
Watch this handoff. Pow.
Kid's rubbish.
Yeah. I can imagine that.
No, I don't think he's going to do that. I think that's really...
Oh, really? You don't think he'll do that?
I think that's highly mature. I think what he'll do is probably tell all the Irish lads what his biggest insecurities are. Yeah. Mention his sticker collection.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be something.
Jeanette, when he was 13, broke his heart.
Yeah. Jeanette Ball! Yeah. It is a weird position that Andy Farrell finds himself in.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it?
Yeah, because he is better informed than any coach in world rugby on how to stop Owen Farrell.
Yeah, and what are the phone conversations happening this week? Like, just because a dad son. And son would go like, "Hiya, son, how you doing? How's your leg?" Yeah, you're all right. You're stepping off it. You're stepping on it, all right?
Yeah.
I'll be Owen Farrell, and you can be Farrell Senior.
Okay.
Hello?
I don't know why I'm actually holding a phone there. Okay. I'm doing... Hiya, son, you all right?
Dad?
well done at weekend.
Thanks.
Now, your mum, nothing to do with me, right? But your mum wants to know how your leg is because she saw you had that big thing on your leg.
We've spoken about this, Dad.
Well, what shall I tell her? Is it all right? Are you mended?
We've spoken about this.
Percentage wise, how mended is your leg?
Look, Dad, I ran into a dog.
Do you prefer it when, like, you step off? Like, if you had to run to get a bus, nothing to do with rugby, but a bus. If you had to run to get a bus, would you prefer to step off on your left foot or your right foot?
Is Mum even there? Is Mum there?
Hi, son.
Yeah, she's here, son. Honest.
Hiya. Clean your room. Don't they live together still? He lives at home with his dad and with his mum and dad.
Does
yeah.
He?
Well, he lives with his mum anyway because Andy Farrell must be in Ireland most of the time.
I guess he'll be commuting. Will he?
Yeah, he still lives at home.
I can just imagine like, well, which leg is it? Left, high up, far side on the wrong there.
Why don't you do an accent when you do that?
Anyway,
pretty in depth analysis that.
So yeah. Leo Vegas bet of the week. So obviously that's what we'll do for all games we're analysing is do impressions of coaches and players involved.
So predictions then?
Yeah, it's really hard to call.
England will win it. I don't think Ireland have got what it takes. I'd be amazed if Ireland come out with this same back line. Because I don't think... Sorry, same back row. I mean, I've been banging on about it for ages. I just don't think
actually, let me correct you. You haven't been banging on about it for ages.
Yeah,
you've been banging on about it this podcast.
No.
I've been banging on about it ages.
You've got that completely
Peter Omani last week, I called it. He needs to start.
You've got this completely confused. I've been talking about this for all Six Nations.
Okay, sure.
Go back and check. Yeah, so it'll be fascinating to see if that is still the case. England are going to win this, and I think they're going to win it by 10.
I am going for an Ireland win.
Ooh.
So I think England won't have anywhere near as much room to get their back line going.
No.
I think the Ireland pack is very experienced and can nullify the English pack. And I think... So, Ireland love beating England at the best of times, but stopping England from breaking the record, the international rugby record for
they broke New Zealand's record.
Yeah.
Yes.
They ended that.
So, I think Ireland are going to win this. And another thing is, so, the home team have won... taking Italy out of the equation, in this Six Nations, the home team have won every single game besides England going to Wales. And I just can't see Ireland giving up at home.
Tell you what, if England lose, it's going to be a very special day for those people in our live show. Very special.
Oh, you're right. I know exactly where this is going.
Go on.
What?
Are you trying to get some sound effect up, JB?
No, not at all.
So there will be a new holder.
Oh, is this actually? Are we still persisting that this is a thing? I'm not. I'm having nothing to do with this. This is not.
There'll
a thing.
Be a new holder of the JB Cup.
This is not a thing.
It is. It's the JB Cup.
I'm more with you, Tim. This is not a thing.
If you can explain it in 10 seconds, what it is.
Longest active Tier 1 winning streak.
There you go. So important.
Yeah. Imagine being
there. Who will it go on to? Actually,
New Zealand. I think.
Really.
Yeah. Because no one's got a winning streak, have they? They've all been beaten.
Yeah,
recently.
Everyone's been beaten in this.
So Wales have got a one-game streak.
Yeah.
Not Scotland. Ireland, no. France, maybe? I've got two. No, they lost against Ireland, so they've got one game.
Yep.
So everyone's on one game. So, yeah, it goes to New Zealand.
Yeah.
I agree with Phil. It's the Ireland are not going to... Like, Scotland were poor up front.
Yeah.
They didn't put any pressure, their defence was passive. England were getting over the gain line at will, punching holes in the defence. I don't think that'll happen, but I've just got big problems. 11, 13, 14 for Ireland, I don't think's good enough. Earl, Zeebo and Ringrose against a team like England or New Zealand, I think they're going to come unstuck. And I know that those are pretty much the same players that did it against New Zealand in Chicago, but I think they're going to get exploited ultimately in those channels. And much like Phil said last week, I think the pain train might be a more solid balanced way for them to go.
It will be interesting to see, actually, because Ringrose has started every other game.
And he's a superstar, don't get me wrong. Yeah. He's a star in the making.
Going forward, he's exceptional, and he will be...
He stuck his head in as well with some tackles at the weekend.
Oh, he will be the 13 for a long time to come. Mm. But he's still a very young man. And so I think they... It'll be interesting to see what Schmidt does, but I think they might go for the pain train this time.
So that said, I still think England will sneak it. England by... four.
Ireland by five.
England by 10.
Mm.
That is our Leo Vegas bet predictions. If you want to take our opinion as any and put your money where our mouth is, that is completely your call. But there you go. There are our predictions. That was our featured game of the week. And go to leovegas.com where you can get double profit boosts on your bet of the Ireland versus England game, Six Nations finale this weekend.
Excellent.
The other two games?
Well, let's just do Scotland, Italy quickly. Scotland, I think, will batter Italy because they are going to be so, so hurt after the England game.
They'll be hurt from a pride perspective. They will also have a number of players missing.
True.
But I still think Scotland will win and probably win by 20 points.
Yeah, about
the same. There's nothing that Italy have done. Apart from that first 40 minutes against Wales, they've not done anything that would suggest otherwise.
The first 40 minutes, they were ahead against England. Yeah. They were in touch against France. They're good for 40 minutes. Well, they're not good. Yeah. They're not good. They're competitive, really competitive. But the amount of energy they have to expend to stay with these teams, they can't sustain it.
It's been a particularly long and punishing tournament for Italy. So, yeah.
Yes, indeed. And then...
France-Wales. Is rather interesting.
It's such a shame there's not more on these games.
Well, actually, there kind of is.
Well, no, as we established earlier, a Wales victory... And an England victory means Wales are in pot one, having been the team that were in pot three for the last World Cup.
But they got out of pool one from pot three.
They did.
And so Wales could finish second. If England win, Wales beat France, they could finish second in the tournament.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a brutal encounter because obviously Wales play is power rugby.
France
play power rugby.
Yeah,
and I think actually Wales might get really, really battered up front. You can't go around bullying those French scrums. I'm not entirely sure how successful you're going to be running into French forwards. Having said that,
one up, one out into the French forwards doesn't seem like a great idea.
No,
does it?
Does it?
No.
Having said that, the Welsh game is quite heavily predicated on work rate too. So if the French try and match their work rate, who knows, they might start to fall off in the second half a bit.
Well, because France's conditioning isn't much better than Italy's conditioning.
Mm. And again, if George North runs over a few people, they might win. I really don't... This is a really difficult game to pick. Because Wales shouldn't really have won on Friday, looking on the form. Who knows what they're going to do this weekend? I simply have no idea.
I think France will raise their game at home.
You think?
Yeah.
France by?
Not many.
Three?
Between three and five, yeah. France by five.
France by five sounds right to me.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Spot on.
And Romania v Georgia. The game we're going to be at.
The biggest game of the week.
In their VIP tent, which it says... which cost what? It was £28 effectively in Romanian money.
It's about roughly 30 quid, depends on the exchange rate.
I honestly think this is the way forward, boys, that we do tier two away weekends and we make it an Egg Chasers thing. We should start up a travel agency that does an all-in thing. I'm not even joking. I think that there's something in it.
Oh, wow.
Because we've got 100 odd people coming out anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe we could get more money out of them. Agreed.
That's not what I meant, just the crack.
Right, okay.
I'm thinking about the crack. So, 28 quid gets us our game ticket, gets us pre and post game. And the way they've described it is steak, beer, and cognac.
Romanian. So they were very specific that it's not French cognac, it's Romanian cognac.
Perfect.
Which I hear is much better, far superior product to the French stuff.
Better craftsmanship.
Yeah.
Well, it will taste like with the smell of the local air that the cognac. What is it made out of?
I don't know.
Grapes.
Is it? Find out for me. Pull it up.
Anyway, it will match the surroundings. It will taste good in context.
It is a brandy.
Right. What's that made out of?
Grapes.
Well.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
So white wine grapes, used for making cognac.
Did not know that.
Beautiful.
Just one little bit of administration. The live podcast, if you're in Romania, we are planning on kicking off at midday sharp. I'm right in saying that, aren't I?
We can do this on we should just direct people to Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, okay. We'll tell you on the group.
Yeah, okay. We'll tell you on the group. But the point is, because the vast majority of people aren't there as well.
Unfortunately.
And we will have... Yeah, more's the pity. We'll do this again and make sure you can be there. But, we'll...
So live show, taxis, game, from game, back into Old Town, then we're meeting everyone for drinks in Fire Club, I do believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It'll work itself out.
We'll put a message on the Facebook page this week.
Yeah.
Yes, get on it and keep following us on social media so you can keep in touch with what is happening, because we don't even... I dread to think and I haven't got a clue. It should be fun. Are we going to try and be good and well-behaved on Saturday night ahead of the live podcast?
Yes, we have to be, because otherwise it's going to be a disaster.
It's a balance. We've got to let the boys play, though,
exactly.
Haven't we?
Exactly. A bit of empathy, Jay.
Talk is cheap, Jay. We can't sit there and say, let the boys play, and then...
And not play. I just don't want to be having to do HIAs on either of you, should I? I'll get out of hand.
In fact, that's actually, you've just thought of a really good segment. We should find out what the actual HIA assessment is and do
and
it.
Then, oh, yeah, and then give do different it members of the audience different gradients of head injury. See when they start.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tremendous... I'll bring the cricket bat.
I'm fairly worried.
A ladle.
I'm fairly worried that if we have a big Saturday night, there is no way I would pass the HIA before this podcast.
Exactly. That's a good idea, that. get some of the really hungover lads. No, because you need a base score, don't you?
You need a baseline score, yeah.
Yeah, so you need to find...
But you need to have a certain level to be able to set a baseline score.
Hang on, do we need software for this?
No.
No? So, what do you mean?
Is it not just... Is it a series of questions?
It's things like, where are you?
So,
but it's
what's just happened.
There's memory stuff as well in it.
Yeah, and there's like, what's your date of birth? Where were you born?
And
But also, like, they'll tell you something at the start of the HIA assessment, and then 5 minutes later at the end of the HIA assessment, they will ask you to. They'll say, "Remember a garden gnome? Pot of flowers?
Could people it's how you do compared to your baseline test. So if you faked your baseline test as being really thick,
yeah. Well, this is a thing, isn't it? This is.
Do you reckon that's what
100%.
They do?
I know it for a fact. For a fact.
So I thought the baseline...
To tell me that.
I did think the baseline test was an old version of it, and I thought they had a more objective new assessment.
Well, here's the thing, right? No, let's not beat around the bush anymore. Or let's beat around the bush some more. Who knows?
Are we playing US Eagle or Lady Spread Eagle again?
Well, so if we could get some listeners, right, to meet us on the Saturday morning before it all gets rather heavy... We could do baseline scores on five of them and then repeat the test on Sunday morning. It'd be quite interesting to see if this makes any difference whatsoever. I mean, obviously, if it doesn't make any difference, it's terrible podcasting. But if it does, there we go.
Yeah. Well, that's another one for the brainstorm list.
Yeah, we'll mull that over in the week.
No, I wasn't knocking it back. I was going, there's something there. There's something there.
There is, isn't there?
Right, listen, thank you very much for listening. Oh, if you've got to this point... Oh, go on, Jay.
I've just got one last thing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for everyone who sent in CVs and applications for being an extra squad member down here at the Rugby Podcast. If you've sent something in and not got back to you, it's not because we're going to get back to everyone that applies, because it's just polite. But the reason we haven't is because we've got Romania up and running, and the project we're thinking of doing with these new people will not really be happening for a couple more weeks. Is that right, Tim? At least a couple more weeks, if not a couple more months.
Yeah, and this might not mean anything if you didn't see the tweet relating to this. So yeah. Check Twitter, whatever.
Extra squad member. If you want to join in, you live in Manchester, you like Pro 12, please send us some details.
Yes.
We'll get back to you and we'll see where it goes from there.
Thank you very much for listening. Again, subscribe on iTunes and you will get the live podcast next week and every other podcast that comes after that delivered straight to you. As I said, Instagram, Egg Chasers Podcast, iTunes, Twitter, @RugbyPodcast, and on Facebook as well, where we'll knock out information and pictures and videos and stuff. So thank you very much for listening. Tell your mates, go check out Raging Bull, get yourself a Cornerstone razor, go to leovegas.com.
And you'll be
a happy man, woman or child. although gambling's for over 18s, obviously. Phil, good work.
Thank you, Tim.
JB, top work.
Thank you.
In a bit.
Where's my...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.